Welcome to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil, the official Monster Jam podcast. I'm Scott Jordan. My guest this week is the legendary creator of King Crunch, and he's also the father of my former broadcast partner and current World Finals champion, Colt Stevens. It's my pleasure to go to the Great Clips hotline to Texas to welcome in the legendary Scott Stevens to the show. Scott, welcome to Inside Monster Jam. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for you guys for having me.
Absolutely, man. Pleasure to talk to you. I've spent so much time on the air with your son. It's about time I get to talk to the big dog himself. So let's go back to the start of the timeline for you. I think around 1982, if I'm correct here, the early days of the monster truck industry, the early days of what would become Monster Jam. What was the sport like for you back then when you started out?
You know, we never knew it was going to go, you know, for sure where it went. I mean, some of the first shows we did, you know, we were just a side act with tractor pullers. And, you know, at that time, the tractor pullers, you know, they told us, hey, you better not quit that job back in Texas because those monster trucks probably won't be around very long. And, you know, and it kind of, you know, that first show, I probably thought, well, they may be right. But as soon as we did that first show and at intermission, we were in Wheeling, West Virginia. And I'm like, man, I don't know if those guys are right or not, because the crowd just reacted to those trucks so much. And even then, you know, pretty much right after that, I called back home to the shop and I said, man, I think this thing's going to work. And by then we sold our off-road store and just stayed on the road for pretty much for another 20 years after that.
And obviously at the time, nobody knew it was going to be what it is today, but you're a pioneer of the sport. So you've obviously been there from the stepping stones now to see it become this worldwide phenomenon. So that's amazing for you to be a part of this for so long. Let's talk about the creation of King Crunch, because that would go on to become an iconic part of our history. And it's still a truck today that fans recognize. It has one of the most iconic paint schemes, I think, of all time. How did that become an idea for you to create this truck called King Crunch?
You know, it was our, you know, we had an off-road store in the Houston area in the late 70s, and our street truck just kept getting bigger and bigger. And it, you know, kind of grew into a monster truck, and we didn't really even know what a monster truck was at that time. And we were very fortunate that a promotion company, TNT, called me and says, hey, can you crush cars? And we said, sure. My wife says I lied to him, but it wasn't a lie. It was an assertion that could have been true. We told him we crush cars, but as soon as we told him that, we figured we better go crush some cars. And we went to a junkyard to crush cars, and, you know, it just took off from there. You know, we actually had the truck called Eliminator, and it was really funny. One of the guys at TNT, Don Johnson's son, says, well, you know, I don't think people are going to like that name. It might be too, I don't know, too negative or something. And so they kind of came up with the name King Crunch, you know, and right off the bat. And it was just kind of that forever. And you know, it was a journey. And it was like, you know, you step back now, it's like, how did we ever survive? And I was so fortunate that I had, you know, Paul Huffaker with me the whole time. And, you know, it just made the world a lot easier, because, you know, we didn't know if we were doing good or bad, but we knew we weren't going to work every day and doing a regular job. We were having fun. And you could just see that something about those trucks was magical. And at that time, we had no idea what we were doing as far as, you know, the things like, to me, Dennis Anderson's a heart surgeon. He touches so many lives. And I know we all did back in those days, but, you know, everything was so important just to get to the next show. It was just neat to see wherever you went, people just love those trucks, you know. And it's today, you know, it's like, I'm amazed every day with 120,000 people last week in Detroit.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Now, this is just crazy how this thing just keeps on getting bigger and bigger.
Nowadays it's, you know, a daily thing for monster truck drivers, Monster Jam drivers, to talk to their crew chiefs on the radio. Back then, it was not as big of a thing to communicate, but I understand that you were one of the pioneers of radio communication. So how did that come about for you to be able to sit in your truck and chat on the radio with your crew chief and your technicians to figure out what was going on?
You know, it was just, you know, at that time, you know, we were really trying to get the sport to go, you know, a lot more mainstream as far as the racing and just everything, the entertainment value. And we were very fortunate. We had got in contact with the guys at Racing Radios, Chuck Thornton and them guys over in North Carolina, which were doing all the NASCAR stuff. And it just worked out good. I really had a great crew chief for many years. Kevin Ford put up with my being a baby screaming and hollering all the time. But, you know, it just made things better. You know, you could kind of keep up with what was going around you, you know, around you. And that was really when we were kind of in the racing mode back in those days. It was before freestyle really took off. But it was just good communication. You know, we were racing in a lot of little buildings back then. didn't want to hit the walls and stuff like that. We hit a few of them, but you know, it was just good to kind of know, you know, what the truck was doing. And a lot of times, you know, we didn't have the answer like nowadays, as far as working on the shocks and stuff. But, you know, we were trying to get an ideal on what was going on, and communication was just really a good thing.
Sometimes you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet, and you make quite a few omelets in your day. Stay right where you are. We have more with Scott Stevens coming up next on Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. This week, I'm joined on the Great Clips Hotline by the legendary Scott Stevens. So we talked about the origins of King Crunch. Scott, now let's talk about your decision to sell off that truck and the IP. I think it was back in 2002 where you unloaded King Crunch. What went into that decision for you to call it a day and retire?
We you know, the late, you know, 99, 2000, we just saw that the off-road industry was really getting stronger and stronger, and it was time to kind of really focus on that. You know, we had spent so much time on the road, and having a business and being able to come home every night was something I was really looking forward to.
I know it's nice to be able to sleep in your own bed and be there for your kids. We're still in the early days of the internet back then. It's not what it is now. I see online, you know, a couple times a year, I see somebody selling a monster truck. So obviously this was not something you could really put out there online and say, hey, does anybody want to buy this legendary truck? So how did the deal come about for you to sell King Crunch?
You know, it was just a guy that was in the oil and gas business, kind of, you know, looking for an adventure. And you know, that they originally bought it and ran it for, you know, quite a few years, you know. And, you know, it's I think monster trucks are, you know, everybody that's running them are, they're probably not businessmen. We're passionate people that just love trucks and love entertaining. And wasn't, you know, 8 or 9 years, they decided to sell it. Now my nephew has it. And, you know, he's trying to get the, you know, the name going, you know, back to what he would like it. But he still works with me every day at the shop, too. So he doesn't get to do as much King Crunch stuff as he would like. But, you know, we kind of have it all back in the family now, as far as with Dylan running everything. But I don't have really much to do with it. I just kind of, you know, whoop him up every once in a while, say, you know, this is what we used to do. And he's like, well, oh, man, you can't do that old stuff anymore. You got to do this other stuff. And the name's still out there.
Yeah, the name is still out there. A lot of fans, especially our old school fans, you know, love throwbacks. They love the old days of Monster Jam. They love the, you know, the vintage trucks. And I'm a guy, I think I've gone on this show. We did a 50th episode, and somebody had asked me, you know, what was one thing I'd love to see back in Monster Jam? And I said some of these older trucks, and I mentioned King Crunch as a name that I would love to see one day back in Monster Jam. I know Colt has always talked about driving that truck at a Monster Jam event. Is that something that you would love to see one day? I know he's busy with Thunder Roarus, and it's a big truck for him. But would you love to see Colt drive your old truck in Monster Jam one day?
I mean, that's the dream, because I'm going to tell you, a Monster Jam is – I mean, it is the NFL. It's the best of the best. And that's where I'd ultimately love to see Colt in a truck. You know, he's loving that Thunder Roarus. I mean, that truck fits him so good. He's big mouth, likes to make a lot of noise. that he loves that truck. But, you know, I mean, the dream would be to see him, you know, go out there and thrash a King Crunch truck. That's for sure.
And you came back briefly, I believe, after your retirement. You came back a little bit. So how was that for you coming back? Why did you decide to end your retirement a little bit and come back and try to do it again?
At that time, I had several things going on with our business and another company I was working with. So it's just difficult to do it all the time. But yeah, it was great to be in. You know, that's when I could definitely see the difference of the components that maybe we had on our trucks and what you guys had. You know, and right now I'm probably having the best time ever. You know, when Colt's done with his Saturday night show, he'll send me a text. Sometimes he's like a big guy, don't want to talk to me, but he'll send me a text, say, hey, old man, we had a great day. And I really think that if I'm 1,000 miles away or whatever, I'm still there with him and enjoying being part of Monster Jam every weekend.
If Colt made the call one night and said, hey, Dad, I can't do this today. I need somebody to step into Thunder Roarus. You think you got one more good run in you?
You know, if you can get me in the truck, you know, I mean, that's the seats and everything are so unbelievable, because when the trucks are at the shop, I get in the truck and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't hardly get in it. But yeah, you know, for sure, once you get in there, you're like, man, you can just dream about it. I mean, you know, it's kind of probably what my run would probably not be up to the scale of what any of this Monster Jam superstars are doing. But, you know, definitely in my mind, I think I can do it. But, you know, I'm sure that would be a different received from the fans. I probably couldn't perform like these guys for sure.
I'd buy a ticket for that event. Stay right where you are. More with Scott Stevens is coming up next on Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. I'm Scott Jordan. I'm joined this week from Houston, Texas, on the Great Clips Hotline with Scott Stevens, the legendary creator of King Crunch. We've talked a little bit about your career. Let's talk a little bit about your son's career. Going back to when he was growing up as a kid in the business, you being out on the road, was Colt always drawn to being in Monster Jam, or was it something that just kind of happened gradually for him?
You know, probably in the younger days, he was all about motorcycles. Even when he was a little kid, he goes, man, I'm gonna do a supercross. And unfortunately, he's kind of like me and like eating a little bit too much, and he's a big guy, and motorcycle world, we had a great time with it. But you know, probably when he got a little older, it's like, you know, he kept saying, hey, let's build another truck. And I'm like, man, we're not going to build another truck. And again, you know, very fortunate that Bill Easterly finally answered my call and says, well, let's put him in there. And it's just been a dream ever since then. He's always kind of wanted to do something racing, and we did everything when he was a kid, from the motorcycles to the go-karts. He plays hard on everything. You don't want to go boat riding with him. You don't want to go jet skiing with him. He's going to hurt you at whatever you do. You know, if you're tubing or skiing, he's going to push everything to the limit. But it was always just about going fast, and he kind of, you know, his friends that would go jet skiing with him would come back with a broken shoulders or something because he would play too hard pulling him with the tube. So he always wanted to go fast and have fun. And like I said, for years, he was like, you know, let's build another truck. And when he got the call, we did, and he had the opportunity to go do some testing with you guys. I mean, it was just, you know, the biggest wow moment we'd had in a long, you know, forever, really. Cause that's your dream is, you know, if you can go do it successful and it makes sense, cause on my end with the King Crunch days, that journey was over. And to see the journey that he's on now and to be a small part, just, you know, when I see what he, you know, Detroit last week was a great weekend for him and Thunder Roars and 120,000 Monster Jam fans. Yeah. You know, that's really because Detroit was a great thing for me back in the day. We had good times there in the old Pontiac Silverdome. To see him over at the new stadium and just, you know, new, it's very old now, but compared to me being there, it's new. You know, he had a great weekend. He was so excited, and he was bummed on Sunday that things didn't go good, but you know, he was just very excited. So it makes me feel very proud to be part of that. You know, every day we just bleed Monster Jam. Monster Jam is the customers that come to our store. I hadn't been in a truck in 30 years or whatever now, 20 years. And, you know, people still come in every day and, you know, they want to talk to me or Colt about Monster Jam. And it's just lets you know that the normal truck guy that drives a Super Duty with a 4-inch lift kit is a Monster Jam fan. And that's just worked for my whole life. You know, that our off-road store is, it's the same people that Colt goes and entertain on Saturday nights that come to our store on Monday wanting, you know, tires, wheels, and lifts for their truck. So it just works out perfect for us.
He won his first overall event championship. I'm so proud of him for that. Of course, the World Finals Championship, which we'll get to in a second. But after the pandemic, Colt had to take a different position with the company. He joined me in the broadcast booth for 2 years. What did you think of Colt as a color analyst on NBC?
Yeah, we love that, you know. And he gets mad at me because I tell him he needs to be back in there with you because it was – we had so many fans call us. They go, oh, we love Colton Scott up there. And I know he's still young and he wants to drive, but, you know, the ultimate goal, he's been back in that booth with you, you know, because it's the trucks, the things they're doing, it's crazy. You know, it's like, dude, you can hang out with Scott for a long time. Those trucks are going to number, you know, it's, and I got it. Those guys are entertaining so much, you know, it's amazing. The entertainment they do, but you know, on that other end, he was doing a good job, and you accented him, and he accented you, and it was just the same when Monster Jam was on TV. People come in the store and say, "Hey, man, we saw Colt Scott on TV the other day. Where's Colt at?" You know, they want to talk about Monster Jam.
Yeah, we had a great time. It's funny, you know, watching him, his growth as an announcer, but also just he comes in, he's this big burly guy, he's Houston, Texas guy, and then from the time that he started to the time he ended, where he was putting the makeup on, he was, you know, trimming his beard, it's like a different Colt. So I'm proud of him for that. I do. We had a great time up in the booth, and I know he's back where he needs to be. Let's talk about the World Finals Championship. He goes on to win the Freestyle Championship in Nashville, Tennessee. What were your thoughts watching your son win a World Championship?
You know, it was just a dream. You know, you always thinking in your mind, hey, you know, he's going to get one. He's going to do this. And yeah, it is so tough out there. I mean, you know, even when he had a great run, you know, I think he had, you know, Anderson's, a couple more guys after him. I said, man, you know, it's just one bounce the wrong way and you can go from the world champion to the bomb. You know, it goes that quick. And it was neat to see his night, that night all went well. And, you know, just very proud. And, you know, you sit back and look that night and says, well, maybe these Texas boys are just got Monster Jam blood in, you know, bred in them. Cause you know, it was the Texas boys, had a great weekend up there, you know, and Shane's boy did, you know, spectacular. And, you know, I think that some of the things they do down here, I always used to think it was those North Carolina boys have something in the water over there. Yeah. Cause Andersons are, you know, it's just, they're the best, you know, and, but it was really great up there to see, you know, the Texas guys have a good time. We were up there, me and my wife, and it was just very exciting to see him live his dream. Cause you know, it's, you know, sometimes as a dad, you get kind of, you know, like, man, you know, Colt, you don't have to do this. There's other things. You know, don't go out there and try to do this cause it's what I did. Cause you know, I don't want you to go through all the hard things we had to go through. And, you know, and every day he's like, just be quiet, old man. This is what I want to do. And I want to get out there and get it done. And he does. And that's what makes it even better. Cause you know, I mean, probably, you know, when we see, you know, when he was little on the motorcycles and all, yeah, that was me kind of pushing him that way. But he makes those decisions now. He's a big boy, you know, and sometimes I forget that. I expect him to call me after every race and say, how did it go? And, you know, it's an hour or two before I hear from him sometimes and say, hey, you're still my kid. I want to know what's going on.
You've referenced your off-road store quite a bit. I know that is Texas Truck Works now. It's expanded, which has actually been a part of Monster Jam. We've seen Texas Truck Works at the pit party out in Houston quite a bit. Talk about that business for you. I know you stepped away to grow it, and it's become this massive thing out there in Texas. Texas Truck Works now is all over trucks everywhere, and we see it at Monster Jam. So how is that going for you?
We're blessed beyond that people live. You know, I think just a dream I've always had, just trucks with big tires. And you know, we're not the biggest we don't build the big crazy trucks on the street or nothing, but we build nice real world trucks, real world Jeeps. The Jeep business is really big. You know, it's over, you know, kind of the, you know, it's a machine that's kind of like, you know, I used to like controlling things and now it's like, you know, I don't even have to be there to make the decisions and it kind of just keeps on going without me. And, you know, it's just a big part of the, you know, the whole cycle again. You know, we started probably in 77, just playing with trucks and making them bigger. And we're out there, you know, I think we're loading up in a couple of weeks. We'll go to Moab for a couple of weeks to do Easter Jeep Safari. And that'll just be a fun 10 days up there playing. And we're somewhere every weekend. You know, we were Dallas Supercross last weekend. We've got some guys that left yesterday to go to Daytona for a Supercross with just small trailers in Daytona this week. But you know, we try to get that brand out there everywhere because we're very fortunate that, you know, between the customers and the manufacturers, just kind of like what we're doing, you know. And sometimes I sit there and it just like, man, it don't make sense. You know, I'm just an old guy living a dream that's been going on for 50 years and it still works every day. You know, it's and it changes. You know, I'm more of a tire wheel lift kit guy, but we've got a, you know, one whole side now just does the audio stuff that, you know, they laugh at me. I don't even know how to work the remotes on starts and the radios and the cameras on the cars. But I just know it's the future of the, you know, everybody wants cameras on their cars and trucks. So somebody runs into them. So it's a lot of stuff going on that side that I kind of keep up with. But I'm still over there with the tires, wheels and lifts every day because it don't matter what you're doing. I just love seeing something come in built. And, you know, at the end of the day, people getting what they want. It's like, man, that's so cool to see if somebody come in there and dreaming about building a truck. And you build something cool and they go home in it and, you know, it's not a monster truck by any means, but, you know, it's the truck they want with big tires and stuff like that.
And I love that you still get to humble Colt because even though he's a world champion, sometimes he still has to go home and work for good old dad. So I love that you get to keep putting Colt under the wrenches there.
Sorry, yeah. He's mad at me about half the time. He's in the shop working on cars now, getting ready for Moab. So he's like, he would rather be doing other things. But, you know, hopefully one of the days he'll be more involved with the shop. But he's living the dream, and his dream is definitely – spectacular for everything at Texas Truck Works. We, you know, we got probably four or five of our employees have little boys and little girls, and those guys, it's just amazing to see three-year-old kids that their whole life is driven by Monster Jam. Probably the hard part is we have some King Crunch shirts and we give them to them and they go, who is King Crunch? You know, because they're so focused on the Monster Jam trucks.
Educate them, Scott. Educate them. Coming up next.
I do. I'm going to show them videos and they go, you're going slow. You don't.
They're calling you out, man. They're calling you out.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, your fan questions for Scott Stevens. Stick around. Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil, is next. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. This week, I'm joined by Scott Stevens. You can stay involved in the conversation by following me on Instagram at ScottJordanMJSX. Let's answer some fan questions. Avengers Racing says, blast from the past. How did it feel defeating Gravedigger at World Finals 2000 in racing? One of the biggest upsets at that event.
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, we knew we were pretty fast because, you know, that's the first time we ever ran those speeds at that place. Felt good. You know, we were, you know, probably a little lucky. We were, didn't have enough spare parts to keep it going beyond that round. I think Gunslinger beat us the next round, but yeah, it felt good. You know, we, you know, just so long, you know, probably you never get to compete at that level and just the opportunity to come to an event like that. It felt good.
All right, last question for you, and we will call it a night, my friend. Monster Jam King 29 says, when you had the infamous crash at the 1997 U.S. Truck Fest, what was the first thought that came to mind when the truck came to rest? That was a gnarly crash, man. That was one of the craziest crashes I've ever seen.
Yeah, you know, it was really, probably the biggest thing of that whole event was Dennis Anderson and Gary Porter loading all my junk. I mean, you know, and it was a funny story. You know, Feld sent me to the hospital and they forgot me over there. So, you know, I had to get a cab to get back.
All right.
You know, and when I got back, Dennis and Gary Porter had loaded everything in my trailer. And that was probably the most humbling moment of my life at that time. You know, because at that time I knew I was hurt a little bit. I had to get back to get a hernia surgery where it ruptured some stuff. But it's like, man, to have those guys load all my stuff. Didn't really think about the crash that much. I knew the truck was tore up. It was junk. But, you know, the trucks are definitely built so much better now. You know, back in those days, we were trying to go from save a little bit of weight. You know, obviously the weight cost us a whole truck because that truck was pretty light and it came completely apart.
All right, Scott. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Hopefully I'll see you at World Finals in Los Angeles. Thanks so much. As for you fans, I will see you right here next week with another brand new Inside Monster Jam powered by Lucas Oil.